welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line, former Congressman Marjorie Margolius. And I'll just tell you, Sandy, what she's been able to do is add a little femininity to our conversation. You think it? Think it makes a difference.
It's about time.
I think you're on thin ice, or I'm just gonna.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, the point.
I would say, walk it off.
Yeah. The point you made before the break was interesting to me. We've sort of made it before, but you know, there's this tribalism associated with immigration. That, you know, we seem to treat immigrant pools coming from different places in different ways, and the ones that look just like us seem to have a much more open-armed reception than the ones who don't, and the ones who worship like us are more better received than those who don't, and I guess you're saying that that's probably the case with Ukraine as well, isn't it?
Oh yes, and you see the movement on television, as I said before, and you think, oh my gosh, or you talk to any of these folks, especially the ones who have studied here in the United States, they're us. You know, last month they were driving to work and they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with their kids on the weekend, and they're us, and you can relate a lot to them, and they look like us.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm very strongly against, I have problems with this, which I assume from your question that you do too, but it's a fact.
No, I think it's a fact. I mean, I have a problem with a fact, but I think Americans have trouble being honest with themselves about the extent to which we all carry these tribal instincts, and that we need to be aware of them so that we can adjust for them, right? But we deny them.
Oh, yeah. No,
Americans deny it.
I can tell you, let me tell you a bit of a story. You know, my son is married to Chelsea Clinton. And
are you
and
serious? We have the,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's right, Margolius.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. See, we've got royalty on the line.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had one of the cousins' events. You know, and now, of course, they have, Chelsea was an only child, and Mark was one of 11. So we have all of these kids who are so lovely. I mean, they're just so, you know, and they all come from different parts of the globe. And one of the kids, this is I told you about Vu, who is the anesthesiologist. He has three kids. His 10-year-old son just read, when he was 10, he's a little older now, just read Bill's book, Where's the President? 500 pages. The President's Missing. And he went over to Bill and said, can I ask you some questions? And of course, you know, Clinton is just such a charm bomber. And he sat down with Bill, and Bill came over to me afterwards and he said, that kid blew my mind. And then he went off, and he really usually doesn't. He said, I can't believe, you know, this is when all those naughty, these bad words were being spoken about immigration and everything like that. He said, this is what immigration is all about. This is what refugees are all about. This is what the next generation is all about. And it is. I mean, it's exactly what it's all about. And I mean, you know, for us to see our kids, especially the cousins and the grandchildren, is just a total gift. But it's so, we have so much conflict in our hearts.
Yeah, I mean, I think the this debate over critical race theory discussion is really a debate over whether we should consciously look at ourselves and admit to that of the tribal instincts that are part of human nature and deal with it, or are we simply going to deny it and bury it and let it fester as a problem? I think that's the immigration issue right there. Let them
redefine it and confuse us, frankly. I mean, if you talk to somebody about what critical race theory is and everything because of the fake news, and you just want to, You just want to bitch slap them. I didn't say that.
No, you can say that. That's perfect. We can't say that. You can say that.
Well, she's sitting down with former President Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton. I'm sure she can say that.
No. But no. I mean, you're right. It's all designed to confuse the process of simply doing a sort of a Six Sigma evaluation of ourselves, like corporations do. But Americans are unwilling to do it. We've got this view of exceptionalism that doesn't allow us to self-examine because we're exceptional.
Well, you know, and in the book that I wrote, And How Are the Children, I try to address some of these issues. And, you know, without, we're trying to be diplomatic. I mean, I think that we don't want to turn the other side off. I was just in Sudan with a group of five former members and five businessmen, lovely. And a couple of them were Trump supporters. And, you know, I assumed that I wouldn't have a lot to say to them just because, you know, because I'm a wacko, pinko, commie freak. I'm not. Once you got into the issues and once you were willing to bring them and they were willing to bring you to the moderate middle, as people, that's what we have to work with, and that's what members of Congress are not doing. They're not listening to the other side. They're not staying on the weekends to go to, you know, ball games where they sit next to their colleagues. It's just there's such a division, and it's so toxic.
Well, yeah, I think what you were speaking about when you were talking to the Trumpist Republicans is that when you can get on a ground where you can start talking about facts that people can agree on, you can start talking about the facts themselves and if the facts are problems, solutions to the problems. We just have a lot of trouble getting all the way to fact, I think, and particularly when we're having this sort of political, ideological fight with one another that doesn't allow us to reach factual footing.
Exactly.
And
it's a debate you want to, I mean, you really want to stop ragging on others.
Yeah, ragging, but also, and that's the ideological part, but I think the part that requires us to have litmuses that we all have to pass the test of, creates the sort of polarization that doesn't create the situation where we end up having discussions that lead to solutions. I've talked on other shows about corporate Six Sigma programs where corporations tend to self-evaluate and find problems and solutions and look at best practices and do all the things that you'd think the American public would want to do and our political machine would want to do it, but it's unwilling to do any of it because of our view of exceptionalism and our unwillingness to self-evaluate. Yeah.
You know, my friend, it's unfortunate that we are running out of time. What do you want to say in the last couple minutes?
Am I your friend?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. You are now.
You're going to be actually, I'm thinking about dumping Sandy and bringing you on board. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I didn't know whether you were talking to Sandy, your friend, or Marjorie, your friend.
Marjorie, my friend.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I've been trying to promote And How Are the Children. I've been trying to go on to different venues. And the other day I was on the Today Show, and I was the first single woman to adopt a child in the United States. And what happened was, and I wrote a book about it called They Came to Stay. And in the new book, And How Are the Children, there's a chapter in there entitled They Stayed. In other words, the kids stayed. And that's what I would like to impart.
Let me do this because we are running out of time, but I'm going to reach out to Candy and see if we can't reconnect.
Oh, perfect. I would love to.
We're going to make I'm sorry, go ahead.
You are charming, you know. Go on.
Well, thank you. You're talking about Sandy or me?
Both of them.
Oh, okay. We got to go. But thank you very much. We'll be reaching back out to you. Sandy, it's been a blast.
Been fun.
We'll see you again on Monday. Thank you, Sam. You've been tuned into The Earl Ingram Show. See you later.